Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Good afternoon. Everybody's good? Good. I'm so happy to be here. So thrilled. I was telling the church earlier today because we pray so hard for your journey here into this new building. We've been praying in Brooklyn. And to actually see it done, see all the people coming to three services, see the way you've laid it all out, it's the bomb. Am I wrong or right? No, it is the bomb. Let's thank God for the bomb. So I was born and raised in Brooklyn like Pastor Al was. Pastor Toledo, and it's a joy to be in Chicago. My wife, who is up here, she really is the amazing one. She's the most talented of us two. And Chrissy, thankfully, took after her in both looks and in talent. And I'm very thankful. My wife, really, both my other children took after her musically. She's the most gifted. I was just thinking as she was leading, of all the things I ever saw her do that were like, amazing. I admire her. I watch her, and she teaches songs. She writes songs. She's won 6 Grammy Awards. She's done all this stuff. And by the way, that new album, Pray, if you go on iTunes or tell other people about it, it's the bomb. Speak of another bomb. And there's a video, listen, a 4-minute video on the title cut called Pray. We put together a video that's going around the country. You just, it doesn't cost anything. You can watch it. And it's this song she wrote. She got in the middle of the night. And it's called Pray, and then we put the visual to it, plus this great singer who helped her on this in Brooklyn, and the choir, and you'll see the church and all that. But if you watch it, it'll encourage you that no matter what you're going through, God's ear is open to your prayer. How many of you believe that God answers prayer? Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand if you believe that God answers prayer. Okay. So... But anyway, that's amazing. She does a lot of amazing things. But one day, I go to this prison in Louisiana, Louisiana State Penitentiary. It's called Angola. And I'm going to give you the short version. So there's like 6,000 inmates now. The average sentence is 91 years. 91 years. The only people in there are murderers, rapists, and... some serious repeat felons, but there's nobody doing nickel and dime time. And Louisiana justice is they throw away the key. Forget plea bargaining, whatever. You drive the car, your friend went in, holed up someplace. The owner of the place thought he was Wyatt Earp and pulled a gun. Your friend pulled a gun, shot him dead. You drove the car. You're going away for 50, 60 years. That's all. Don't even talk about anything else. So it's 91 years. So... there's been a revival there, and they got hold of a book years ago called Experiencing God by Dr. Blackaby, then a book I wrote, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, started spreading that. More importantly, the Bible started to be preached. The warden there had a bad experience with the execution of an inmate who was one of the last electrocuted, and it went bad. And this shook him up because the guy went out cursing God, cursing his mother, cursing his father, cursing the warden, cursing the prison, cursing everybody. And the warden thought, oh, my goodness, but God put me here for a reason. So his mother told him, Burl, you better get yourself together now and get a strategy from God how you're going to spread the gospel. Long story short, now there's 1,500 or more born-again Christians out of 6,000 inmates. They got 5 chapels, about 25 churches. New Orleans Theological Seminary has a branch in the prison. Listen, training the Christians so they can pastor their fellow inmates. You can't even make that up, am I right? And they got a station, radio station going on in the prison. So anyway, I go down there a lot. These become my friends. We have a video called Miracle of Hope. And 6-7 of these guys, very close to me now, all in for murder, all did horrible things. You see the picture of their mugshot when they were arrested, and you see them now, what Jesus done. It's amazing. So anyway, the warden says to me one day, he says, Pastor, you've been coming, but listen, can you bring your wife down here with some musicians? Because I'm so tired. The music is not good like it should be in the prison. And one of the reasons is because All the praise and worship songs they do sound like Motown from the 1980s. Because a lot of the guys went in the 80s, so everything sounds like The Temptations, Diana Ross and the Supremes. What's that woman's name and the back from that era, Carol? What's that? No, Diana, not Diana Ross, but that girl. Well, anyway. It's got everything but the moves and the steps when they're singing praise and worship. So Carol goes down there. I go down with her. She has some musicians. So they put together like 25, 30 of their best voices. And they say, okay, the warden says, I'll take you to death row and places you like to go and see people and all that. I'm going to put her with people there, and I'm going to get these 25, 30 guys. I got them all to be in the chapel. She's going to work with them for 2 to 3 hours, right? So, and they're going to sing in the meeting at night. You're going to preach. And this meant a lot to them because these guys, listen, after mama dies, nobody visits them. Nobody visits them. The girlfriend or the wife usually disappears first, then the father, the brothers. But as long as mama's alive, they've got a visitor. But I know guys that haven't had anyone visit them in 10 years. 10 years. So anyway, she works all afternoon. I don't know what she's doing. I just know she does what she does. And we get together for the night meeting. So they say, before Pastor Jim Cimbala comes to preach, Carol Cimbala, Grammy Award-winning, blah, 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 she's going to direct the new Angola men's choir, chorus or whatever. So all the guys get up. They were sitting over there in the auditorium. And they walk up on risers kind of like that or steps. And they gave him special T-shirts, right? And they're all in for murder. It's the first mass murder Christian choir. No, it was. There had never been one before. There will never be another one, I'm telling you. Not one guy was in for anything else. And they walked up, and they loved the Lord. And they're, you know, they don't get visitors. They have nothing to look forward to. And so they walk up there, and she walks up, and this is the truth. I'm taking a couple of seconds with this, but you'll enjoy this. So I'm sitting right in the front row next to the warden, just like there, and she's like right here, and they're there singing. So the intro comes in. She brought a soloist with her, a keyboard player, and she lifts her hands. Actually, I just worked with them two and a half hours. She brings her hands down. The place is filled with 500 inmates. The minute their friends started singing under the direction of this new lady, right, they all jumped to their feet. It sounded exactly like our choir in Brooklyn. I don't know how she did it. And the warden jumped up. Everyone's high-fiving, doing the bump with each other while they're singing. And the guys were so proud. And just like, you know, in our church, she has them swaying, and they're singing. And I could see their eyes. They couldn't believe that everybody was enjoying them. But, you know, someone took time to work with them, right? So I'm just going, I mean, I've seen her do a lot of amazing things. That was the most amazing. So she does the first song, and it's fine. She gets to the second song that she taught too, like she taught the choir here. And she's directing the choir, and I think there's a key change in there. Now, there's no guards in this meeting. There's no guards. The guards are outside. So you're in there with mostly believers, but then there's inmates who have come in. They're not believers. And she's leading the choir. And the key change comes, and the choir's supposed to come in real strong, but she didn't like their volume. She didn't think they were singing loud enough, or they had forgotten their part. Poor guys. Whatever happened. They weren't singing loud enough. So her habit in our church is, but you can't hear it or see it, she'll yell at the choir, and they can see her, and she's mouthing things to them like sing or whatever she's saying. So, but she's close to me, and we're in a much more confined space. So the guys come in, and they're not singing loud enough, and suddenly she forgets where she is, who she's leading, and she just goes, "Sing! I said sing!" And I'm thinking, where I am? Who's in that choir? I wanted to reach out and tell her, just calm down and say, please sing. Because they might backslide and we're in a lot of trouble right here. So it's an honor to be here, and I want to say something encouraging to you. How many of you are born again Christians? You love the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so in 2 Corinthians, there's a portion of scripture that I have put up on the screen. It's just a few verses. I think it's chapter 4, verse 16. And it says there, therefore, Paul says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all the troubles. So we fix our eyes, not these, but these. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So listen again, because when you read scripture, it's good to read it twice. And by the way, if you're reading alone, a great thing you can do when you read scripture is to read it out loud. If you're alone and you can do that. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That word means lose courage. Quit. Though outwardly, in your body, we're wasting away, yet inwardly, in your spirit, heart, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Light and momentary, eternal glory, which far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When I was a kid, I was watching a boxing match one day, and I had an uncle who really knew sports. And it was interesting. I was just little, but I was learning a lot about every sport. I ended up playing a lot of basketball. Went to college on a basketball scholarship, played in the NCAA tournament, March Madness that just closed. But here I was little watching a boxing match. And like the first three, four, five rounds, this one guy is just pop, pop, just pop, 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 crossing, hitting this guy upside his head. Around the sixth, seventh round, suddenly things began to turn. I'm just watching. And the guy that I thought would get knocked out starts fighting back. And suddenly I noticed, my uncle says to me, look, Jim, look, Jimmy, see his hands are lower now. The guy that had been doing all the punishment, giving all the punishment. His hands are quiet. And suddenly this guy comes and he digs a couple left hooks into the guy's gut and his abdomen. And the next thing you know, by the eighth round, he knocks the guy out. The guy goes down once, he goes down twice, eventually he lost. And I remember my uncle saying, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. He ran out of gas. The guy who was winning at the beginning, he ran out of gas. Because let's say the fight is 10 rounds. It's important how you fight the first five, but you got to fight the whole 10 rounds. You can't fight five. One time, I was playing in an overtime game at Fordham in the city. And the coach, I was a point guard, the coach kept me in the whole game. And the gym was extremely, 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 extremely hot. And I think guys weighed themselves at the end of the game. I think someone told me I had lost like 7 pounds of, or 6 or 7 pounds of perspiration, water. It was incredible. It was like playing in a sauna. And I remember running down the court. Overtime, the game had been clinched. We won. But it was as if somebody was in the upper balcony of the arena and had a rifle and shot me in my calf. And I was running full speed, and suddenly I went down. I didn't know what hit me. I thought someone did shoot me. And I was down, and my camp had cramped because of the lack of water. I didn't hydrate myself properly, dehydrated. So you practice, you push, and the coach will make you run suicide drills from the end to the foul line and back, and then to half court and back, then three-quarter court and back, and then full court and back, and then do it and do it and do it, and guys are huffing, guys are screaming. And, coach, I can't tell you. No, you run it again. Why? He would say, I want the game to be easy. So when you're under stress, instead of running out of gas, instead of getting tired, you're going to be like fresh, just like hostile, agile, and mobile. Just shake and bake somebody, break somebody's ankles. Why? Because in sports, like in everything in life, you have to have endurance. And this is especially true spiritually. It's not who starts the race, the Bible says, who gets the reward. It's the one who what? Finishes the race. A lot of people start, not everyone finishes. Paul had an assistant minister, mind you, named Demas, and he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, the Bible says, if anyone loves this present world, the love of the Father's not in him. You can't love God with all your heart and love this world, because this world is anti-God. Chicago's anti-Jesus, just like New York is anti-Jesus. Just turn on the media. Just, you know, I go on TV programs or radio programs, and they'll say, look, you can say Lord, you can say God, say the man upstairs, say anything. Do not say Jesus. Isn't that something? So it's endurance. You can't just be looking good. You got to keep going. So there's a lot of athletic imagery in the Bible about starting the race, finishing the race, being in shape spiritually. So that's what I want to leave with you. I want to encourage you, because you're here. You love the Lord. You're here on a Sunday, right? And the battles in life that wear you down are not going to happen here, I can assure you. No, this is fun and games. This is praising God. This is enjoyment. This is encouragement. Pastor Toledo's preaching great sermons. You're going to grow and all of that. But how about Wednesday about, 10 o'clock at night? How about Fridays? And you can't call the minister. You got to learn how to call on Jesus. Aren't you happy we have a priest whose number is always available? You never get a busy signal. So you got to have endurance. So Bible talks a lot about that, and about patience and endurance to keep going. And there's two words used in the Greek language in the New Testament. One is to have endurance and patience with people, so you don't go sideways because of what people do to you. Some people will test you, won't they? Some situations, an ungodly husband, a bad working environment, it's like a torment to your faith. People mistreating you, people lying on you, people slandering you, people doing whatever. A lot of people run out of gas, and then they lose their Christian sweetness and love, and they go in the flesh, and they start then getting involved back, and then the whole thing makes it sad for everybody. Then there's another word for endurance with circumstances, not people, but just, attacks of the devil and just pressure. Now, what's interesting, the guy that's writing this to us, and then we'll look at it and close, the guy that's writing at us, you want to stop and say, yo, Paul, what do you talk about light and momentary afflictions? He's saying our light and momentary afflictions. And most of us, if a mosquito goes by, we get all whatever, right? Any little problem, someone looks at us wrong. I was in a riot in a restaurant in downtown Brooklyn, and it all started when a girl was with her boyfriend, and some guy must have just looked at her, and she went, what are you looking at? And he went, what? She said, no, you heard me. What are you looking at? And you know where that all went, right? Just someone looking at her set her off. Now, Paul got beat half to death. He got the 39 lashes a few times, and they call it 39 because 40 would kill too many people, so they made a law in the Roman Empire. You can only beat someone 39 times. And this was a grown man with a whip with lead on it, or possibly from an ox, from the ox skin of an ox, they would make a whip and then put pieces of bone in it. This is a grown man with a guy stretched out to be punished. A grown man, like you would a baseball player, taking a full swing. Here's a guy going full swings into Paul's back 39 times. For what? Because he preached Jesus. He was once in an open sea on a night and a day. He was persecuted. He was beat down. He went to prison. He knew what it was to be naked. How literal that was, we're not sure. We know that he was hungry. You know, the prosperity teaching that you hear some of these evangelists on TV talk about, that would be rare or strange to Paul. You know the teaching that if you just serve God and have faith, you never run into a problem. That's bogus. Sometimes you're in the center of God's will and all hell is going to break loose on you. Am I correct or not? If you're not sure, go with me. I might go in, God willing, October, November this year. I was there twice last year. Come with me to Hong Kong, where they bring in underground church pastors and leaders from China, which country has the largest number of Christians. And half the guys at one conference I was at last year, half of them, men and women, had been in prison for Christ. No, their transmission wasn't slipping. They were in prison, as in slammer. And I felt unworthy to talk to them. What am I going to tell them? So we live in a dream. You're in Chicago, I'm in New York. You come in, new building, we worship God. But not for everyone around the world. Try being a Christian in Pakistan. Try even owning a Bible in Saudi Arabia. Brother, no brother, true. So Paul, he was the leader in all of this. He went through so much and trouble in the city and trouble in the country, and he calls it light and momentary afflictions. But Paul, where are you coming from? How'd you get there? So here's the secret. Paul says, so I've come to a place in God where I don't lose my courage. I don't lose heart. I don't give in to discouragement. There are two big forces that attack us in our Christian life. One is fear. Fear to stand up for God, fear to obey God, fear to step out in ministry, fear to speak. And the other one is discouragement. They're different. Fear will freeze you. Discouragement can just make you just want to drop and quit. As I shared earlier today, twice in the first 18 months of my ministry at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Carol and I came, we assumed we inherited 11, 15, 17 people. On Tuesday nights, many times, just two people. First offering was $85. That was the total offering. And already Chrissy was born. So Carol got a second job. I got a second job. But just not seeing God do anything, and it was mostly my fault. It was all my fault. And God wanted to help me. I was just cabeza dura. I wasn't learning. I was hard-headed. Why, some of you speak Spanish? How many of you speak Spanish? Lift your hands. Oh, muy bien. So I got so discouraged, I tried to quit twice. Quit, leave the ministry. Leave the ministry. Yeah, I once wrote a book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fry, one Christian book of the year some years ago, but long before that, I was like, let me out of here, I can't take it. You ever get discouraged? Anybody here ever get discouraged? You know, you're just fighting the devil. Step up here for a second, sir. Would you please? See, discouragement is like, just a little closer. Discouragement is like a steady pressure that will knock you over. See, we're talking about boxing where a guy hits you like that, but depression is like this. Brace yourself because I'm just going to push a little bit, okay? So I'm leaning my weight on him, right? Now I'm leaning more weight. Now I can feel his back stiffening, right? Now I'm leaning more weight. See, he's starting to give a little bit, brother. Be strong in the Lord now. Come on. And now I'm leaning. Don't you get it? Just taking that for an hour. Imagine, thank you. Imagine just what you have to exert just to fight that, not a punch, just that pressure. Anybody living here under that pressure sometimes? The devil, people on your case, whatever. So discouragement and fear, you can't give in to those. Paul says you can't. So Paul says, here's what I've learned. And this is a big secret now. Let's try to learn it, okay? Because it'll change your life. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. I don't lose heart. I don't quit. I don't get discouraged. Now, if Paul could go through what he went and be strong and be like muy fuerte in the spirit, then I want to know about that, right? So he says, here's the secret. He said, outwardly, physically, every day, I feel it. I get tired. I get a beating. I'm thrown in jail. No, outwardly, I get older. As you get older, you hit your peak athletic period, then you start, you got to stretch more if you're going to work out, and you get just tired. Listen, my mother turned 100 on November 21st. A month later, she broke her hip. I didn't even have a chance to tell Pastor Toledo this. She broke her hip at my sister's house at 100. So now the question is, are they going to do a hip replacement or a hip surgery? And they're worried because she's 100, right? You know, she's Polish. We Polish, we're not smart, but we keep moving. We keep going forward. They do the surgery. The doctor comes out of the surgery and sees me and Carol and says, she's amazing. Her bones are so strong, we're amazed that they broke when she fell. And her heart is strong. So now she gets the surgery. She's been up there for months because she had to do rehab. And she's telling me on the phone when I said, Mom, how's it going? Oh, no, Jim, I'm doing the exercise. The therapist is here. Jim, you got to remember, no pain, no gain. My mother's 100. She's telling me this. So she comes home this past Wednesday. I ran to see her on Wednesday. She came back in the apartment. We have someone with her. I talked to her yesterday. Every day I call her once or twice now. So I called her yesterday. So, Mom, how are you doing? Oh, good. I had a good day. What time did you go to bed last night? 7. What time did you get up this morning? 6. I said, wow, that's... She says, I was tired. There were people here and all. She said, but I sent the lady home. I said, no, Mom, she's supposed to stay there. No, I don't need her. I sent her home. I said, so what happened in the morning? You dressed? Can you dress yourself? Yeah, I dressed myself. I put on my sneakers, and she got some bad little Nikes that she's running around in. And I made my breakfast. She's 100 with a broken hip. And I said, Mom, you're amazing. She said, I did a little dusting too. I saw some stuff on the floor. I thought, she keeps going. She keeps going. The test is not beginning. You got to keep going. So Paul says, physically, yeah, I got run down. My mom is 100, so movement is difficult for her. She needs a walker and the whole thing. Paul said, that's happening, but inwardly, in my real person, I'm renewed every day. Now, that, I want you to focus on this. Listen to me now. He said, I'm renewed every day. So notice there's bipart humans. We're all two parts. We're physically, you can eat healthy, which we should, and you can work out and pump a little iron, and you get some bicep mass and tricep and the whole thing. But beside physical, there's your inner person. There's your spirit. There's your heart. And if I had a machine today, we could, yeah, we can get weights and how strong you all are and test you. But what if there was a machine to see what your inside looked like? Your heart, your spiritual person. Some of us might look good and strong, and inside we're like hanging by a thread. And some people can be 100 and need a walker, but can be strong in the Lord. So notice that we learn one thing. There's two parts of you, and the part that dominates and is eternal is your spiritual part. Yeah, your physical being can affect the way you feel, but the thing that affects you most is how you are in your heart with God, how strong you are in the Lord. Because if you're not strong in the Lord, if you're not being spiritually renewed, you can eat the best steak. You can go to Wrigley Field and actually see the Cubs win a game or the White Sox. And guess what? Listen, sorry, I had to just throw that in. So listen. But listen, you won't enjoy it because you know what? Something's wrong inside, in su corazón. If that's not right, nothing's right. You know what? You can't even enjoy your children or your grandchildren. You're bothered by guilt, discouragement, fear, anger. Angry people have an edge. Unforgiving people, full of unforgiveness, bitter. Meeting them is like meeting a lemon. They're sour. So now we know that. What else do we know? Here's the amazing thing about this word, and I'll bring it to a close. Paul says, when he says we're renewed every day, you know what that word means in the Greek? The language that he wrote in? It means I'm made absolutely brand new every single day. It doesn't mean that God helps you and you're ready to quit and he goes, come on, I'll help you on. I'll take your arm. And no, has nothing to do with that. He says, no, every day I'm renewed. And the word means renewed, made brand new. Don't you want to learn how to be made brand new every single day? He said, no, I'm at top spiritual condition every single day. My body? Yeah, it gets tired, the beatings. I got some scar tissue. I got a rotator cuff a little problem. But inside? No. Every single day, he makes me brand new. Which, by the way, I'm watching with my mother. She's closer to God and more spiritually in tune now than she was at any time in her life. But let me now bring you one other thought here. Notice how was he made strong? Every day. The only way God works for you is today. There is no tomorrow with God. Because you don't know if you'll wake up tomorrow. God is not going to give you strength for today, for tomorrow. Some people, you know, I thought that, you know, if I go to church and could just get full of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and have such a good Sunday, that will carry me through the week. It won't even carry you through Monday noon. Because God says that. Paul says, I have to be renewed every single day. Remember what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our... No, Lord, give me food for May. Here's my menu for May. I want prime rib. No, God says, what am I giving you? Daily bread. And that's the only strength you're going to get. Would you face that with me today? And just don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't think this is like a car. You go in, you get filled up. Now you drive for 3 days on that gas. It doesn't work that way. Paul says you have to be renewed every single day. You got to go to God. Listen to me if you forget everything else. And it's for these people. It's for the singers. It's for the pastor. It's for me. It's for Chrissy. It's for Carol. Every day you got to go to the Word of God. And you got to sit and open the book and say, God, talk to me. Please, God, before you read, just say, God, talk to me. You don't have to have a long prayer. Talk to me. Help me. The thought's been in my head from Palm Sunday. God helps everyone who cries help. God helps everyone who just says, help. God will help you. So just open and say, God, talk to me through this word. Teach me. And then spend time just worshiping him and telling him you love him. Pour out your problems to him. Pray. And say, God, renew me today. Make me brand new. Make me strong. I can't go down. I got to keep strong. Because the devil is always looking for weakness. Last thought. Predators always look for weakness. I just saw it again on the National Geographic channel with my grandson, Levi, who my daughter, second daughter, adopted from Ethiopia. And we're watching, and they have some female lions approaching a herd of zebras. And they're just in the high grass, and they're just watching. And you're thinking, would you just attack and get this thing on? No, they're watching. And the biologists, these experts can't figure it out. They're watching to see any animal that will just go. Just one limp. One tiny animal that's a little weak. They can pick out disease. And then once they communicate with each other, they start running. And even if another zebra runs up right in their grill, they won't even bother with that zebra. They're going after one zebra. That's the one they're going after. And you know what they're looking for? Weakness. Weakness. When we're weak in the Lord, it's like whistling. Devil, come from me. See, we live in a feel bad for me society. Oh, you don't know what I've gone through. Don't say that around Satan. Am I right or wrong here? He has no feelings. You know, understand, look at me now, everyone. There's no feelings with Satan. There's no feelings. He doesn't care you have a little baby. He doesn't care you just got married. He doesn't care about anything. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. So we need to be strong every single day. And I love what that daily strength does. Paul says, suddenly when God strengthens you, you begin to see everything different. You see, oh, what I'm going through, this is nothing compared to heaven for eternity. How many believe with all your heart that 1 billion years from now, we're all going to be together with Jesus? How many believe that? One, lift your hand if you believe that. 1 billion years from now. For those of you who don't raise your hand, you're going to be somewhere for 1 billion years from now. No, listen, I'm not being condescending. 1 billion years from now, we're all going to be somewhere with the Lord or away from the Lord. But nothing ends when you die. It only begins. Nothing's like over. Like when my mom dies, even her life is a vapor, the Bible says. Compared to eternity, life is just, that's her 100 years. That's all, it's gone. So Paul says, I can put up with anything. I went to plebe year at the Naval Academy. I went through that before I went and played at the University of Rhode Island. And they were hassling me and hazing me. And guys with my upperclassmen who was my only friend, everyone else was out to get me along with every other plebe, if you understand anything about the service academies. The guy would say, remember, this will be over by March, April. They'll lighten up on you. Just got to get through it. And then you're a midshipman, upperclassman, second classman, first classman, senior, then, and all of that. So it was always, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. So Paul had the ability, instead of letting everything around him swallow him up because God renewed him every day, he said, this ain't that much. This ain't nothing. Like Rocky, that's all you got? Oh, but when we're not renewed, right? Come on, I'm talking for myself. Anybody here with me? Say amen. When God hasn't renewed you and you just see what's around you, everything, I can't make, it's overwhelmed. And Paul's going through all of that. And he's going, yeah, I do this for Jesus. He's singing at midnight in a prison. But see, he was renewed. He kept looking at those things that are invisible. If you only look at things that are visible in Chicago, you're going to be up and down like a yo-yo. Am I right or wrong? Just read those murder statistics you have in your city. And if you have children, what are you thinking about? But if you keep your eyes on God's promises, eternity, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven, the power of God's word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, show me that. I can't show it to you, but hush, because it's more real than the stuff you're looking at. He will never leave me nor forsake me. All things work together for good. Aren't you going to explode with what happened? No, it's going to work together for good here somehow. What are you talking about? What are you, crazy? No, I'm looking at things you can't see. I've been renewed by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, because the things that are invisible last forever, but the things that are visible, they're gone in a second. You got some nice clothes? Ain't no big thing. You got a nice apartment? It's going to burn up one day. You're really into your car. Someone might back end it while we're having the meeting here today. Am I right or wrong? No, am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong, I said. No, that's the way it is with any physical thing. I live in New York. You're not a true New Yorker, a true Brooklynite, unless you've been robbed. We have surveys. Like, how many have been robbed? Unless you're robbed. No, you don't even live here. You're not a real Brooklyn guy. But when you have Jesus, you can't be robbed. So I want to encourage you now. Today, you're being renewed being here. But now, mañana, that's a different story. How many want to get strong every day and be renewed? Lift up your hand. Let's close our eyes. Anybody here just especially fatigued spiritually? You're going through it. A lot of pressure. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. You don't think I understand that? I'm just exactly like you. Forget the pastor stuff and all that. I'm exactly like you. I've been beat down where I didn't even want to get up in the morning sometimes. Just worn down. I want to especially just pray for you. Anybody here, just say, Pastor, that word, it's for all of us because we all need to be renewed. Notice, day by day. Not today for Thursday. Let Thursday come. Then God will help you Thursday. But daily. anybody just here and say, Pastor, I'd love if you could just pray for me, because now I see what you're talking about. Now I know what's happening. I'm being worn down. Enemy's trying to just wear me down. But I want God to give me endurance. I want to start the race. I want to finish the race. I want to fight a good fight. I don't want my hands to drop. I don't want the enemy to look for weakness and find it in me. I want to be strong in the Lord. Just stand up where you are so I could pray for you. If you're in a special season right now, like attack, 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 attack. Just attack. Like, just, I don't know what's up here. Attack. If you're standing up, come quick. Come run up to the front. Run up to the front so I could pray for you. Just come. Get close to the edge as you can. Come on. All of you that are here, lift up one hand to heaven, okay? Close your eyes, lift up one hand, and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, keep me strong. Day by day, give me strength. You know what I'm going through. You know the enemy's attack. You know my circumstances. But I make no excuse. I will be strong in the Lord because you are on my side. Give me the patience to get strength day at a time. I love you. I thank you for dying for me. And I draw near to you today because I trust you. And I love you. Everybody stand in the building. Can we put our hands together and praise him?